I want you to picture your neighborhood at night. Specifically, imagine the streetlights. We all just kind of take that overhead amber or white glow completely for granted.
Right up until the moment it's gone.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like you turn down a familiar street and realize, oh, a light is out. And suddenly that dark corner feels fundamentally different.
It really does. It completely changes how you walk, how fast you move, and, well, how safe you feel in your own city. Light totally dictates human movement, but we just don't think about the infrastructure of it until its absence forces a behavioral change.
Yeah, and the immediate reaction for most people in that scenario is to wonder, you know, why doesn't the city just put up another streetlight? It sounds like literally the simplest request in the world.
It sounds simple, sure. But flipping a switch on a new traditional streetlight is an absolute administrative and physical gauntlet.
Which actually brings us to the core of today's deep dive. We're looking at a stack of briefing notes about the GridShift solar retrofit platform.
Yes, the GridShift platform.
And the goal here is to explore how utilities are trying to solve what is secretly this massive paralyzing infrastructure headache. Because cities desperately want to expand safety and visibility for you, but they are hitting a brick wall.
A massive wall, yeah. Because they actively want to avoid expanding the electrical grid itself to do it.
Right. So we are opening up the hidden world of utility deployment today to see how cities can scale up fast without literally tearing themselves apart.
Yeah. The central tension here is really between what the public demands, you know, modern ubiquitous services, and the actual physical limitations of legacy infrastructure. To understand why GridShift is such a big deal, we have to look at the painful reality of the old way of doing things.
Let's break down that old way, that gauntlet you mentioned. If a city decides, hey, this specific intersection needs a new light, they aren't just like running to the hardware store for a pole and a bulb.
Oh, not at all. They are initiating a massive public works project, and the very first step, the absolute worst part, is trenching.
Trenching, just tearing up the street.
Exactly. Trenching is basically the original sin of urban infrastructure expansion. You're breaking concrete, you're cutting through asphalt, excavating a trench just to lay conduit, and that instantly triggers a cascading series of logistical nightmares.
Because you can't just dig blindly, right?
Right. Before a single shovel hits the dirt, the city has to conduct utility markouts so they don't, you know, sever a water main or cut a fiber optic cable.
Which would be a disaster. And then you have to factor in the traffic diversion, the permitting, coordinating union labor across all these different disciplines.
Oh, yeah. You've got the concrete team, the electrical contractors who actually have to make the new service connections to the grid, the municipal inspectors who have to sign off at every single stage. It's exhausting.
It's honestly, like, imagine trying to add a single new electrical outlet in your living room.
Okay.
But to do it, you have to tear down the drywall across your entire block just to run the wire.
That is a brutally accurate analogy. From a budgetary perspective, utilities look at this in terms of capital expenditure, or CapEx. The CapEx of laying underground conduit in a dense urban environment is astronomical. We're talking hundreds of dollars per linear foot.
Wow. Hundreds per foot.
Easily. A single new streetlight can cost a municipality tens of thousands of dollars before it ever casts a single lumen of light.
That is wild. It's a centralized system where just one single addition requires disrupting the entire environment. Every time a city opens up a street to lay conduit, they are bleeding capital and generating immense public frustration.
Absolutely. The traditional grid is like a centralized circulatory system. Expanding it requires invasive surgery on the city's arteries. Utilities want the outcome, more light, better walkability, but they want to avoid that surgical expansion at all costs.
So the logical pivot, obviously, is to go off grid, which usually means solar.
Right, solar is the immediate thought. But standard solar streetlights have their own severe limitations.
But do they still require a huge footprint, don't they?
Exactly. I mean, they solve the trenching problem because they don't connect to the grid. But historically, standard solar lighting involves erecting brand new, highly engineered poles.
Right, because you have to hold up the solar panel.
The panel plus a heavy battery bank. So you typically have to pour a substantial new concrete foundation. You're out there doing geotechnical surveys to ensure the soil can even handle the load. So you bypass the electrical trenching, sure, but you are still very much doing heavy civil construction.
And this is exactly where the GridShift stuff alters the equation, because they take a retrofit approach.
Yes. The retrofit platform is the game changer here.
Instead of treating solar lighting as a completely new construction project, they designed a system that mounts directly onto existing infrastructure, They're just utilizing the vertical real estate that is already standing on the sidewalk.
Right. Old utility poles, existing light standards, basically whatever happens to be standing there. It fundamentally shifts the whole deployment model from a construction project to a simple installation.
Because you bypass the ground entirely.
Exactly. By just clamping onto an existing asset, you eliminate the foundation pouring, you skip the geotechnical surveys, and you don't need heavy lifting equipment.
Okay, but I have to pause you right here, because looking at the mechanics of this in the notes, there is a glaring physical issue that jumped out at me.
Oh, what's that?
Well, if you take a standard, say, 50-year-old wooden utility pole or an aging aluminum light standard, and you suddenly strap a giant solar panel and a battery pack to the top of it, doesn't that make the pole incredibly top-heavy?
That is the big question.
Like, aren't utilities terrified about these old poles just snapping and tipping over in the wind?
Yes, and honestly, structural integrity is usually the graveyard for retrofit ideas. In structural engineering, there are two really crucial factors when you add equipment to a pole dead load and wind shear.
Wind shear. Exactly. Sale.
Exactly. Wind shear is often calculated as the effective projected area, or EPA. A solar panel acts as a literal sail. So when a storm rolls in, that panel catches the wind and creates immense torsional strain right at the base of the pole.
That sounds incredibly dangerous for an old pole.
It is. Add a standard 50-pound lead acid battery to the top of that, and you've created a massive liability. The physics just don't favor bolting heavy sails to aging infrastructure.
Which is why the engineering behind GridShift's weight reduction is such a huge part of this deep dive. It's not just that it's solar, it's how they built it.
Precisely. They had to totally rethink the materials and the geometry. They shifted away from those legacy heavy battery chemistries and moved to high-density lithium-ion setups. That drastically reduces the dead load.
And what about the sail issue? The wind?
They optimize the aerodynamic profile of the panels to lower the EPA, so it minimizes how much wind the unit actually catches. But here is the fascinating part. Reducing the weight isn't just about preventing the pole from physically snapping.
Right, it's about the bureaucracy.
Yes. The bureaucratic bottleneck is often way denser than the physical one. In municipal infrastructure, anytime you add significant weight or wind load to an existing pole, the regulations trigger a mandatory structural engineering review.
Oh, I can see where this is going.
Yeah, a licensed engineer literally has to physically go to the site, assess the degradation of that specific pole, run complex load-bearing calculations, and stamp an approval.
Wow. And if you're trying to deploy, what, 500 lights across the city, paying an engineer to run custom math on 500 individual decaying poles would just bankrupt the project?
It would bankrupt it, and it would delay it by years. The cost of those individual structural reveals can actually rival the cost of the hardware itself.
That's insane.
So by engineering the grid shift system to be so lightweight that it falls well below the minimum threshold that triggers those reviews, they basically engineered their way out of the administrative bottleneck.
That is brilliant. The lightweight design isn't just a physical safety feature, it's a regulatory bypass.
Exactly. It's a total bypass.
Which explains how the installation process gets stripped down to basically nothing. If you don't need to trench, you don't pour a foundation, and you don't need a custom engineering stamp for every single pole, you're left with a purely mechanical task.
It literally comes down to three steps.
Right. The notes outline it as installing the mounting hardware, attaching the fixture, and commissioning the system.
That's it?
That's it. The labor requirement drops from a multidisciplinary construction crew down to just a two-person team. Give them a bucket truck and some basic hand tools, and they can retrofit a pole in under an hour and just move right on to the next one.
It changes municipal lighting from this heavy construction nightmare into something more like clipping a lightweight reading light onto a paperback book.
I love that. Yes, clipping a reading light onto a book. You aren't rebuilding the book, you're just augmenting its capacity.
But we need to look closer at what we're actually clipping onto that book. Because these units aren't just isolated flashlights strapped to a pole. They are highly complex digital assets.
Right. The physical illumination is almost secondary to the digital capability here.
Mm-hmm.
Modern urban infrastructure relies heavily on distributed intelligence. The GridShift platform integrates with smart node systems.
Smart node.
Yeah, which transforms what was literally just a dumb piece of wood or steel into an active participant in a broader smart city network.
Now, I imagine a smart node isn't just some digital timer turning the light on at dusk. It has to be communicating back to a central hub, right? What kind of data is a utility actually pulling from a retrofitted street pole?
Well, the primary function is predictive maintenance and remote monitoring. Think about a legacy system. The utility only knows a light is dead when a citizen calls to complain, or, you know, a utility worker just happens to drive past it.
Which is terribly inefficient.
Totally. But a smart node communicates its health status in real time. It monitors battery degradation, the solar charging efficiency, LED performance. So, say a panel gets covered in dirt and the charging efficiency drops.
The node flags the system.
Exactly. It flags it before the light ever even goes out. It shifts the utility's entire maintenance strategy from reactive to proactive. They aren't rolling a truck just to figure out what's wrong. They are dispatching a technician with the exact replacement part already in their hand.
That's a huge operational savings. But I mean, beyond maintenance, these mesh networks allow for dynamic infrastructure management too, right?
Oh, absolutely. The utility can program dimming schedules based on micro-local conditions. Say a specific pedestrian corridor is totally empty after 2 a.m., the nodes can dim the lights to like 20% to conserve battery.
But if someone walks by?
If integrated motion sensors detect movement, it instantly ramps up to full brightness.
That is so smart. But here's my concern. If these nodes are effectively tiny computers sitting out in the elements, communicating via cellular networks, they're going to need firmware updates, replacement parts, and physical maintenance,
right?
Which introduces a massive operational vulnerability. If your supply chain relies on a single factory halfway across the world, your new smart canopy is actually incredibly fragile. Is that why the sources focus so much on grid shift, localizing their manufacturing to California?
Yes, exactly. Because domestic manufacturing in the post-pandemic landscape is no longer just some, you know, patriotic talking point. Yeah. It is a critical disaster recovery and operational necessity.
Because you can't afford delays with public safety.
Right. When you are dealing with public safety infrastructure, supply chain latency is totally unacceptable. If a hurricane wipes out a coastal grid, or a massive storm takes down 200 poles, FEMA and the local municipality don't have 6 months to wait for microchips or mounting brackets to arrive on a cargo ship.
They need that network restored immediately.
Immediately. By controlling the manufacturing locally, grid shift shortens the distance between a localized failure and a localized solution. They guarantee a secure supply chain that isn't held hostage to international shipping bottlenecks or geopolitical trade disputes.
Makes perfect sense.
Plus, a lot of municipalities operate under strict domestic procurement mandates now. Federal and state infrastructure grants often require materials to be sourced and built within the United States, so it aligns perfectly with those initiatives.
It fundamentally changes the risk profile for a city manager. They get to deploy this highly advanced digital mesh network, but they're backing it up with a reliable, localized supply chain.
Mm-hmm.
They get the technological leap without the logistical fragility.
Exactly. But look, we can discuss the elegant physics and the supply chain theory all day. Utilities are inherently conservative entities.
Very conservative.
Highly. They manage public funds and public safety. They absolutely do not adopt new technologies just based on clever engineering pitches. They require empirical data at scale.
Right. Theory has to actually survive contact with reality.
Mm-hmm.
And reality, in this context, is Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah. LA.
The Los Angeles Bureau of Street Lighting manages one of the most sprawling, complex, and environmentally brutal lighting networks on the planet, and they have purchased and deployed over 700 grid shift systems.
Which is huge. Yeah. 700 units elevates this from a cute boutique pilot program to a core operational strategy. A pilot program is, you know, putting 5 units in a protected municipal park.
Right, where nothing goes wrong.
Yeah. Exactly. Deploying 700 units across Los Angeles means submitting the hardware to extreme environmental stressors.
Because LA has everything. You have the corrosive marine layer salt rolling in off the Pacific.
Yep.
You have these dense urban canyons that block consistent sunlight. You have the San Fernando Valley, where temperatures routinely bake the internal components of electronics.
LA really is the perfect crucible for this. If a solar smart node with a high density battery can survive those temperature swings and perform consistently out there, the durability question is pretty much answered.
So what does this massive LA deployment actually tell other utilities across the country about solving their own infrastructure challenges?
It tells them that the platform is actually scalable. You cannot deploy 700 units if each pole requires a custom retrofit strategy. The fact that LA could scale this across their huge service territory proves that the standardized mounting hardware works.
That three-step installation process actually holds up on the pavement.
Right. It holds up while navigating the chaotic reality of 50 different types of legacy poles. It proves that utilities require systems that are reliable, simple to deploy, and compatible with existing assets. And GridShift proves you can achieve massive coverage expansion by simply utilizing what's already standing on the sidewalk.
It just completely bridges the gap between a neat product and a systemic solution. It forces a total reevaluation of how we view the physical city.
It really does.
True innovation in urban infrastructure isn't always about tearing down the old to build the new. It doesn't always require massive capital expenditures and years of disruptive digging. Sometimes the most sophisticated leap forward is figuring out how to creatively retrofit the existing world to bypass the grid entirely.
I couldn't agree more. The most valuable asset a city often has isn't its budget. It's the vertical real estate it already owns.
Which leaves us with a really fascinating thought for you to ponder as we wrap up this deep dive. If a rusting 50-year-old street pole can be effortlessly transformed into an independent, smart, solar-powered node without a single wire being laid in the ground, what other invisible, everyday, dumb infrastructure is standing on our streets right now, just waiting to be retrofitted into the smart city of tomorrow? Next time you walk your neighborhood at night, look at the physical structures around you and consider what they could become.